On this last day of the old year, we are going to consider together a lamentation of the prophet Jeremiah. To lament means to mourn aloud with grief or to express one's complaint. And this is exactly what the prophet Jeremiah does in this chapter and in this book of the Bible. He mourns over the desolation and destruction that had befallen Jerusalem and Judah. In Lamentations, he raises his voice of grief over the captivity of Judah, into which this nation had now been taken on account of her apostasy. In verse 14 of Lamentations 3, Jeremiah informs us that he was a derision to all his people, and they mocked him with their song. This was true and more. He was even cast into a pit for days, standing in mud up to his knees. This prophet had been beaten and imprisoned because, well, he spoke the words Jehovah had placed upon his lips. He spoke words of condemnation and destruction upon Judah for the sins that she had been committing before the face of God. The people and the rulers hated him for that. Not that Jeremiah took pleasure in speaking such harsh words. He was required to do it by God himself. He could not help but speak these words. He was Jehovah's mouthpiece. So he was persecuted for the sake of the truth, and in this book of Lamentations, he raises his lamentation to God. But why consider a lamentation at the end of the year? Because, dear listeners, in the midst of his mourning, Jeremiah brings to mind a blessed truth that God gives God's people joy on this last day of the year. That truth is contained in Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. These verses that we consider today teach us this blessed truth. God is faithful. In this past year, God has proved himself always faithful to his people. Even though we see society and the church slowly crumbling and falling apart, we can say, God is faithful. His mercies toward you and me have been new every morning of this year gone by. That knowledge gives us confidence and joy as we stand at the close of this year and look back across the year. It is that confidence that we consider tonight using the confession of praise raised here in these verses. As we look back across the year 2017 in retrospect, we certainly can confess together God's faithfulness to his people in Christ. When we in our weakness have so often strayed from God, he has again in his faithfulness towards us preserved us in our faith. Even in those times when we were the least deserving of it, God held us in his mighty hand and led us. But we ought to understand what is fully implied in this concept of God's faithfulness if we are really to understand its beauty. Only when we fully understand everything that is included in God's faithfulness towards us are we able to stand on this old year's night and exclaim, "Great is thy faithfulness!" You see, from eternity, God has established his decree. And in that decree, he has chosen a certain people unto himself in Christ. God did not leave that choosing up to man. He is God, and as God, he determines all things. God chose to himself out of the human race a certain number of individuals who together would make up his church, the body of Christ in this world. As these individuals are born throughout the generations of this world, God, by his sovereign and free grace, calls them to faith and repentance. He sends forth the Spirit of Christ into their hearts and works in them faith with its fruit, true repentance over sin. He then unites them to be the body of Christ in this world so that they stand together with other elect believers, the church. With these believers in their generations, God establishes his covenant with its promises. God enters into an intimate bond of love and fellowship with them, a bond in which he becomes their God and Father, and they his people, the very children of his family and household. That's God's covenant. With that covenant, God has made a promise to his church, and through her to every believer. We read of that promise of God's covenant in Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. God speaks these words repeatedly to his people in the Bible. In his great love toward his people, in his covenant blessing toward them, God makes a promise to them. No matter what way I lead you in this world, you need never fear, because I will never leave you alone. I will always be there for you. God's covenant established long ago with Abraham is accompanied repeatedly through history with his oath. God swears by his name that he will never leave or forsake his saints, chosen from eternity in his unchangeable will and called to be his people in this world. In other words, God swears an oath to us, his church. By my name, I will never leave you or forsake you. And we must understand all of this if we are truly going to understand God's faithfulness. Because you see, God's faithfulness speaks of his constant and abiding adherence to that oath that he swears to us. God does not forsake his people on the basis of anything they have done to deserve this. If it were not for God's faithfulness towards us, we would be consumed, you and I. I am Jehovah, the unchangeable one. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed, God tells us in Malachi. But God is faithful to you and me because of who he is, and because of the oath he swears to us. This oath God has kept throughout all ages. Oh, it is true that God pruned many out of his covenant and church. There is no doubt about it that God even cut off the nation of Israel and Judah as a whole. But this took place only because the wicked far outnumbered the righteous in these nations. These nations slowly through the course of time became filled with unbelievers instead of believers. They still looked at themselves as the people of Jehovah. They still boasted of that, but they were not looking in faith for the coming Messiah. The sacrifices they offered were merely outward oblations and nothing more. This is what happened with Judah in the time of Jeremiah. There may have been a few yet who looked for salvation, and to them God's promise was sure, but the vast majority of the people in Judah lived in unbelief and sin. While boasting that they were the people of God, they lived in the same sins, even worse, that the wicked nations around them lived in. God prunes individuals from the vine of his church and covenant when they walk in disobedience and sin. And when a church institute as a whole is filled with wickedness, as was Judah, God cuts out of the vine of his covenant the institute as well. But this does not mean that God is not faithful to his covenant with his elect people who live in faith. The elect who are characterized by faith are always preserved by God's almighty hand. God's promise is always to his chosen people in Christ. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you in your needs. I am your Father, and you are my children whom I love with an eternal, unchangeable love. And God's people in every generation hear that promise and cling to it. They need to, because believers know their own sin and their own failures in this life. They know that they do not deserve this favor and love of God in their lives, but they believe that God will never leave or forsake them because of what Christ has done for them. In Christ, God's faithfulness is revealed to you and me, fellow saints. We believe that. We believe that Christ has died to deliver us from sin and that he has taken away our guilt. We believe that God views us ever in Christ alone. For Christ's sake, therefore, we are preserved in our lives. For Christ's sake, you and I have been preserved in our faith in the past year. In this last day of the year, therefore, we hold fast. We cling tenaciously to God's covenant promise to us. And we rejoice in the name of our God. He is Jehovah, the faithful one. Look at the events of 2017. Look at society. In this past year, it has become the more lawless. Almost every week or so, we hear of a mass shooting going on in our own land. Abortion, adultery, rebellion are the order of the day. Immorality, astounding immorality abounds. A couple of generations ago, our children ran and played outside with all the neighbors with no fear of being kidnapped. Now every parent has to sit outside with their children. They're paranoid. They want to make sure no one steals them away. Our society has become an unsafe place to live. There's the constant threat of war, for example, ISIS or North Korea. We read of terrorist strikes in this world, something from which our own country is not exempt. There is corruption in big business affecting the lives of thousands. There's a lack of financial security. And this same lack of security is found in many of the churches of today. The error in all of its various, sometimes subtle forms that places man above God. The attitude of tolerance towards sin. There's a growing attitude of anger and resentment toward the church that strives to maintain the Word of God. Apostasy and an ungodly lifestyle prevail in the church as a whole. When we review the year that is past, we can at times verge on the point of despair. Where is this world going? But God has been faithful to his people, has he not? It's not as if we have not stumbled in this year that is past. Every person has his own personal struggle with sin. This year has not always been one of joy and happiness for us. We must deal with sin as it has entered into our own relationships. We must deal with sin in those whom we love. And sin always causes strife. Because we must deal with a sin-cursed earth in which we find sickness and even death. We struggle with age. We struggle with infirmities and illness. It's all been there in this past year too. But one thing is certain for us as believers who stand now in the last hours of this last day of 2017. God has been faithful. He has not suffered our foot to be moved. He has not allowed us to fall away from faith. Even though we deserved it, he has held us in the palm of his mighty hand. And he preserves us. And in those times we were about ready to give up, sometimes even crying out in despair, and God has borne us up. He never leaves us. We experience his presence. And when we suffer for righteousness' sake, then God also gives us a calm reassurance that it is well with our soul. Such is the faithfulness of God toward us. This faithfulness is revealed to us in what Jeremiah says in verse 22 and the beginning of verse 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Again, as we reflect on this past year, we truly can say that God has been both merciful and compassionate toward us. God's mercy is his attitude of grace and love toward his elect people in Christ, by which he takes pity on us in the misery of our sin. If there's anything that stands before the heart of a believer on this last day of the year, it is his own unworthiness before God. We have transgressed God's commandments every day. We've not loved him as we should, and we have not loved our neighbor as we should. When we look at our sin, we see our guilt before God. We deserve to be consumed in God's justice. We deserve to be punished for sin eternally. But we are not. And we are not because of God's mercy. God has chosen us in his great love for us from eternity. He has called us to be a people unto himself in this world. Yet he knows our sins and our human frailty. He also sees what a tangled mess we can weave for ourselves. And we have made for ourselves again in this year gone by. We wallow about in the misery that sin causes us. And he knows we are not happy here. He knows that when we sin, we make ourselves miserable in life. God pities us when he sees us in our sin. He feels sorry for us and what has become of us in Adam. And in that pity for us, God reaches down in his mercy and draws us out of the misery of sin and gives unto us the joy of salvation in Christ. He does that over and over again. This is how God's mercy ties in with his compassion. God's compassion is his love. But it is his love from the point of view of God's affection toward us. He is a God who is kindly affectioned toward you and me, and therefore a God of tenderness, a God of kindness. He is filled with benevolence towards us, his children in Christ. That's a beautiful picture of God that our text draws for us. Believers are those whom God has chosen from all eternity. He has loved us with an eternal love in Christ, and that love does not change. He does not despise us one minute and then love us the next. He does not in anger over our sins seek revenge on us, though he deserve it. But God, in his compassion towards us, always loves us. And in that compassion, God shows to us his mercy, a tender mercy. In his faithfulness to you and me, God is gracious towards us, loves us, and is merciful towards us. In this past year, all of these were revealed by God to you and me in our lives. How grateful we as God's saints can be tonight. God's mercies and compassions fail not. Notice that these words, mercy and compassion, however, are in the plural. Jeremiah speaks of God's mercies and his compassions. He does this because he has in mind the different acts of mercy and compassion that he has shown us in our lives. In this past year, God has shown to his people countless acts of compassion and mercy. These have never failed us. God shows that to the faithful church of Jesus Christ. The church has been preserved in the faith in this past year. God, his people, know his truth. He has given them the desire to hear that truth, and as it is revealed to them in the scriptures. He has worked in them faithful adherence to that truth. God has not failed his people in their homes and families in this past year either. If we were left to ourselves, there too we would be consumed. We sin within our own homes and families. Sins that are not made known to others perhaps, but are there nonetheless. But God's mercy and compassion have not failed us either. They are in fact new to us every morning. Every day anew, we witness God's unfailing faithfulness towards you and me, his people. Instead of leaving us in our sin and watching us fall, God pities us every day anew and preserves us in our generations. Despite the weaknesses found even in believing households, even in believing parents and children, God upholds us in his great love and mercy every day anew. That's true. It has been true throughout this old year. God has preserved us in our own lives too. Look at our individual sins, people of God. The sins of our hearts. The secret sins that no one else knows about. How often God has shown His mercy and forgiven us again and again and again. We cannot begin to list the times we have received forgiveness from our faithful God. And God has done that in the midst of our afflictions too. How often would not our struggles with sickness or age or infirmities or the pressures of life consume us? But God in these two always upholds us with His strong right arm. He never leaves us, never forsakes us, because we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And He cares about us, and He leads us. Maybe the way He leads us is not always known. Maybe that way is hard. He does not promise us that it will not be a difficult way, but He does promise that He will be with us every step of the way. And that's what we have witnessed this past year again. Certainly we can confess with Jeremiah, God's mercies and compassions fail not. They are new every morning. What a wonder that Jeremiah, in all his affliction and pains and sorrows, could confess that. But how he experienced that in life too, just as we have in this past year. It's the end of 2017. We stand on the very eve of a new year once again. Time like an ever-rolling stream. It seems as if this year has just begun and it's over already. We have seen our share of joys, we have seen our share of sorrows and burdens. But we do not stand here discouraged today. We have bright hope for tomorrow. Jesus comes. Neither do we stand on this last day of the year with sorrow. We do not look at 2017 through negative eyes. We look at it knowing that God has again been faithful. What a wonderful God we have. How good He has been to us again. What then shall we say today? Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. I will lay my head on my pillow tonight, and when I awake, it will be another year, a new year. But as I close my eyes upon the old year, that hymn will be in my heart and on my lips. Great is Thy faithfulness. That is our confession today. No, that's our song of praise to God. All praise and all glory be to God in this year gone by. Lord God, we extol Thee, not ourselves. Great is Thy faithfulness. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful that Thy faithfulness is so great toward us. So undeserving we are. When we look back across this past year, we see our sins. We see the misery that has caused us. And yet Thou art merciful and Thou art compassionate to us in our lives. Thou hast preserved us in the faith. Father, we thank Thee as Thy children for these great gifts that we have received in Jesus Christ. Now as we go forth into the new year, we ask Thy blessing upon us too. We pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.